Welcome back. So, full disclosure, I was never a big fan of cooking shows. I live with somebody who is, but I was never a fan. I was a fan, though, of Mary McCartney. She is a great photographer. She is a co-founder of Meat Free Monday, which I find is so awesome. So often, if people are scared of eating healthier, you can say things like, eat less meat, and that they'll listen to. So I think she's done so much good. I met her in London doing a special with a relative. We were born 6 days apart, and she had a child born on my birthday. And my wife is a fan of her cookbooks, including Food, Vegetarian Home Cooking, and At My Table, Vegetarian Feasts for Family and Friends. And I have cooked hundreds of vegetarian meals, so I've always been a fan. She even produced the special Wingspan. So when I heard that Mary McCartney was doing a cooking show on Discovery Plus, Mary McCartney Serves It Up, I was like, oh, well, that I'd want to watch. And now I'm here to humbly confess that Mary McCartney is my gateway drug, and I have become a cooking show addict because her show is so much fun. And it's not just about innovative, fun ways of creating healthy meals that are delicious. It's also a talk show that she filmed with her crew during pandemic and found a way to make FaceTime chat while transatlantic cooking feel intimate. Mary McCartney, welcome to SiriusXM.
John, that was just such an amazingly lovely introduction. Thank you.
No, really, I'm a fan, a longtime fan. And honestly, it's so hard to do these kind of shows with any kind of original spark. Your show has such a really lovely blend of intelligence and fun, while at the same time, you know, there's a lot of humanity in it because it's all vegetarian. Yeah. I would imagine you've had people approach you over the years about doing a TV show. What made you decide to create the show now?
No, it's actually quite the opposite. I think for years I've been, like you were saying, I was like promoting Meat Free Monday, and I grew up in a vegetarian family. So I actually wanted to do a cooking show for a really long time, and I never was invited to do one. And then so when Discovery Plus said, we're going to commission you to do the first series, I jumped at the chance. And as you said, it was they got in touch when it was the first lockdown in the UK. So I quickly started scribbling down recipes and coming up with ideas. And then me and my husband worked on the idea of getting guests involved. And you know what was interesting, what you were saying in the introduction about cooking and food, I like to watch cooking programs. Sometimes the best ones are not actually about the recipes, it's about food and relationships, and it's social and it's emotional. And for instance, one of my favorites, which I hope you're going to get hooked on, is the Great British Bake Off.
Yes,
which is so brilliant. So it's almost not about baking, it's about cooking for people. And when you cook for someone, you put part of your heart and your emotion in, and you want to please someone, and you want, you know, that you want them to enjoy it. And then also the fact that I do the vegetarian, you know, we promote Meat Free Monday, my cunning plan is that if I make it satisfying enough and tasty enough and not preachy and friendly and fun, then my cunning plan is I'm going to entice people in, and they go, oh, I accidentally am eating meat free and I'm loving it.
I love that. And I actually feel like you reminded me of a real link between good television production and good cooking, because it is about creating a mood. It's about creating a food. And the care, because we've had lots of bad meals and we've seen lots of bad TV. And they're both really about knowing how to nourish the audience in the best way. I think it's a terribly fun show. And I wouldn't have never thought that you and Dave Grohl, sitting in kitchens thousands of miles apart, talking about how he began loving the cook and he eats healthy on the road, but junk food at home, could be such a warm experience during such a scary time.
I think what I really wanted to do with the show was to keep it informal. And like, my cooking style is no fuss. It's like, yes, there are recipes, but really it's not, if you want to substitute something out, you don't have an ingredient, or you put in a little bit more, it's not exact measurements. And that's how I feel like if you come for dinner at my place, then it's sort of jeans and a sweatshirt, and you can be relaxed, and we'll play some good music, put a good playlist on, and eat some good food, have some candles on. Excuse me, can you hear that?
I sure can. I heard a little.
I'm turning it off.
That's okay.
So yeah, it's all about the style of the show is sort of taking into account my character, which is sort of like that let's relax, let's have a nice time. If it's sort of similar to my photography style, I like people, I like to collaborate, and I like people to feel comfortable. And so that's the style of the show. It's like, look, if you're not a cook, are going to still, this is still going to be a show for you. I actually surprised myself when I watched it back. I was like, wow, that recipe looks really easy and it's super quick to make.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this is probably why I don't think you could have chosen a better time to do a cooking show, but also simultaneously a more challenging time to launch a cooking show. In the States, Americans are spending more time than ever in their kitchens. People are cooking. We're talking about it all the time. My producer, Chris, I just coerced into getting a home meal delivery system. And yet you couldn't have any guests with you in yours. And
well, I had two guests. I did. I got two, but not out of the six episodes, four of them were like a virtual cook along. And then we did a transatlantic brunch, but Liv Tyler lives in London.
That's right.
And Mark Ronson. So I did, those two did, but it was under very, very strict COVID regulations, as you said. And I had a really great production team who do Ina Gardner's Barefoot Contessa. They work with her. So they were, because I've never done a cooking show before. So they really made sure it was all safe. So yeah. So I did. I was really happy to get Liv there and Mark there, because having them in the kitchen was really fun, and we did have a laugh together. But then I with the FaceTime ones, it was interesting. I started doing that more and more through COVID, is when I'm on my own in the kitchen, I'll think of someone and I'll FaceTime them, and right. then I'll cook along with them there. Even if we're not together, we can still be together as best we can, right?
Absolutely. Well, I found that so refreshing, because watching it with you and Kate Hudson, I really did feel like, oh, these are two people who are friends doing something fun, having some fun at cooking together, separated by thousands of miles. At the same time, though, on a production level, I it was so cool to watch, Mary, because it's not easy to make that kind of TV conversation feel that kind of fluid. And it just, it really is such a smooth show and beautiful looking. And you've spent so much time, of course, as a photographer behind the camera. I'm curious what it was like for you being in presenter mode and how you approached the text and the host reads you had to do for this.
It was definitely taking me out of my comfort zone. I've never done anything like that. Like, I would, if I love sharing, I've always shared recipes and told, like, sort of gone through how to cook things with people, sort of sharing recipes, but going in on that first day and the camera, like, you need to look into the lens, down the camera. And, you know, I wanted to do that because I want to talk to the audience. I want to hold the viewer's hand and sort of say, look, this is, you know, this is a recipe I think you're going to like. So I had to do it, but it took me a little while. When you watch them, where you're like, could you see me relaxing and getting more comfortable as I did a couple of episodes?
Well, obviously, your mother is a through line for this, and a real link.
Yeah. Like,
I was raised by a dad who was the main cook in the house. And that is such an emotional link. And it must have been easy for you and fun for you to have so many anecdotes to pull from about specific
cooking. Well, I definitely learned my confidence in the kitchen from mum. So, you know, she made the kitchen the heart of the home, and I've kind of carried that on. So when I was in front of the camera, I kind of had that in my mind. It's like, look, I know I can cook. I know these recipes. What I just need to do now is relax in front of the camera and try and be myself, because what's the point of me being here and then being really awkward and nervous? And then, you know, so I think that, again, that was why it was really good to have a guest on, because at the end of the show, it sort of makes it more, I'm kind of quite social. So I like, you know, when you cook, you want to cook for someone. So, or if I'm cooking for myself, I'm still sort of cooking with people in mind, thinking when I make it, if I'm on my own, I'm like, well, this person's going to love it. So I write down the recipe.
How would you describe yourself as a cook? How do you run a kitchen?
I am somebody that sort of will open up the fridge and look at what I've got and then sort of make something up. Like, my husband was happy when we did the show, because he was like, well, this is good, because now you're going to write down the recipes and I might get it again. Like the nacho sauce that I do in the comfort food episode with Liv Tyler, He loved that nacho sauce, and I made it for the show. I came up with the recipe for the show. I was like, oh, wouldn't it be great if you could have like a vegan nacho sauce that you could like warm tortilla chips and like just pour it over and then put chili in the middle. And so I did it, and he laughs because sometimes I'll cook something and make it up on the spot, and he's like, this is so annoying though, because I know you're probably never going to make it again. So I think it's been a good exercise to sort of get me, you know, practicing and keeping the recipes for future legacy.
Well, and also it's those anecdotes that you throw in like that that I think make it a TV show to watch. I mean, you know, I'm wondering if there were any chefs that have had any influence on your cooking style, because when I think of the way you grew up, obviously you have been way ahead of a plant-based diet that is finally being talked about on a mass scale. I'm curious, who among
it's so exciting. That is so exciting. I mean, the world has changed so much. I mean, Dad and I were talking about it recently, because really I do it. I carry on what my mum and dad started, but when we were growing up, it was almost a little embarrassing. Like people would really sort of make, you know, it was almost a bit like, you're vegetarian. Why, you know, at school, I would feel a bit awkward. And mum and dad were like rock and roll, you know, icons. And they were putting their, you know, beliefs at the forefront, even though people were a bit like, oh, you're vegetarian. And now it's like, Dad was saying he went to this amazing restaurant in New York a while ago, and everyone around, it was just like so... you know, buzzing and cool and great atmosphere. And he was like, the whole place is vegan, you know? And it's like, he was like, who knew this would happen? It's just so heartwarming and so great for, you know, hope for the environment and carbon footprint and, you know,
I mean, that's
kindness. Yeah. So let's,
but
the main thing is, it's like, I don't want to miss out. I don't want to feel apologetic for the way that I eat. So I think with the show, I think you'll agree. I hope you'll agree that when you look at it, you don't go, oh, that's vegetarian, I should try it. You're like, actually, that looks like tasty food.
Yes.
It shouldn't matter what, you know, it's just like, I want to eat that or I don't want to eat that. But, you know, I'm really, I mainly come up with recipes thinking of meat reducers almost. Because
yes.
I want to, is the person that is, my target person is somebody that is like, I'm interested in eating less meat, but I don't quite know what to cook because it's like, to me, it's a bit confusing. And I'm like, here, I'm here. Hello. Yes. I can give you some ideas. Here are some recipes. That's where I come in.
This is where I think the work is so political. I mean, I think the activism we're talking about from the 70s and 80s of being vegetarian, we now see the effect that activists will have a generation later. And when you talk about people who are carnivores, I was raised by devoted meat eaters. My dad was once a butcher. And when my wife became vegetarian, I thought, oh my God, I'll never survive. And I find that people will give up their religion before they give up their comfort food. Very often you can save a lot of cows by telling people, hey, don't panic. Just, you can eat less meat. You can have, that's the whole purpose of what you did on Mondays. And
John, I actually agree with it weirdly. Obviously, I want to save animals and I want to, you know, do it for all these different reasons. But I kind of got to a point where I'm like, I get it. You know, when someone says, you should do this, you should do this. And you're like, oh, so I was like, someone was telling me something. And I was like, oh, really? That's making me really not want to do it. And then I was like, wow, that's what it's like when you're like, you shouldn't eat meat. You should do this. It's like, you need to make your decisions for yourself. And I grew up in a vegetarian family, but when I left home and I was cooking for myself and I was buying my own food and I had my own flat, I was like, oh, hang on, am I going to still be vegetarian? Because this is now me cooking.
Right.
And I was like, oh, actually, yes, because number one, I love it. I think it tastes amazing. I know how to do it. And I don't feel like I'm missing anything. So if I eat meat, which I think it tastes good, I understand why people like it, I don't feel good about it because I know what else to do. So that's my personal thing. But I try not to preach and be judgmental because I just don't think that's good for anyone.
Yeah, I think it helps the cause more too. I think people shut you off if they think you're going to lecture them about morality. And I've told many of my friends, you know, by preaching less meat, I mean, I save more cows if you can get them to accept that rather than have them shut you down. But one thing,
but also it feels like people aren't that. I don't know if you found this, but I feel encouraged by the fact that there's a much more open conversation. So I can talk to people that are meat eaters and go, I'm never going to give up. And then they don't have a go at me. I don't have a go at them. But then we can have like a real middle ground conversation where I can be like, look, I know you don't want to do that, but how about this? And then they're like, oh, you know what? Actually, now that you say it like that, I'm not adverse to eating, you know, a veggie, you know, your veggie leek and mushroom gravy pie. I could have that now. And then we're not having an argument. We could share a meal. But, you know, it's not an ultimatum. And that actually does make me warms my heart to know that we can start doing that. Because the food situation these days doesn't seem like a black and white scenario to me. There's so many things to discuss and to change and to consider. But, you know, at the same time, it's food. So we want to make it foody.
Yeah. And it's got to be fun above all. You know, you can't just... shove people broccoli and make them think it's candy. And by the way, what you're talking about is just hello religion. Yes, let's just talk to each other and not push it on each other so much. In the course of watching the show, I kept thinking about some of the arguments that I hear and some of the things that people, it's not so much arguments, but fears people have. And one common reason I get from folks for not having more of a plant-based diet is they think it's difficult to shop and keep fresh food. I'm curious, what advice would you have on a practical level for those who are looking to change their shopping and cooking?
And also expense is a thing, you know, people. So yes, that is always in the forefront of my mind. Like in the show, an example would be the chili corn fritters. So for that, I would use canned, I use frozen sweet corn, but you can use canned sweet corn if it's not in season. And you can make fritters like with peas, frozen peas, pea soup, like those kind of things to just keep things to hand when they're not in season. You can get frozen vegetables and like I'll use roasted red peppers. There's a meatless marinara sub sandwich I make with Mark Ronson. And then that I have like a jar of roasted red peppers and I just take them out and warm them up and slice them and put them, you know, it's layered up in that sandwich. So I do have, I think the show is scattered with different bits of advice and practical eating. And also with all of the, like the cookbooks and most of the recipes I do, they're all ingredients that I can get at local stores or at the supermarket, not specialist stores. Only because I want it for the reason you said, I want the ingredients to be accessible to people.
Right.
It's important, I think, because otherwise it sort of looks alien and a bit challenging.
I agree with you.
I think I've actually had people sometimes say that my things are a bit too simple and straightforward. If anyone, to a degree, I'm waiting for someone to go, Mary's stuff is actually too easy, like I could have done that myself. But in a way, that isn't my target person. My target person is someone that doesn't cook a lot, who maybe this will get them cooking a bit more for themselves rather than eating sort of prepared food, like making food fresh themselves.
I agree, but it's also just a really fun show to just binge watch too. lightning round questions, Mary McCartney. I'm coming to you as a guru on this, okay?
Okay.
How do you get tofu to be crispy?
You toss it in some oil and you put turmeric and miso and you bake it in the oven.
Okay. How is there such a thing as too much garlic?
Only if you're planning on kissing someone, unless you make them eat it as well. So no, just make the other person eat it.
Excellent answer. And finally, what is your stance on milk and what has been your evolution on cow milk to plant-based milk?
I am using more and more plant-based milks. I actually got my kids into cashew milk the other day, which worked really well. And that's another thing. I'm friends with Chrissy Hynde, lives near me, the singer from The Pretenders, and she lives near me and she's been a lifelong vegetarian. And she has been telling me about this amazing place in England called Rutland Farm. And it's a slaughter-free dairy that is Ahimsa Dairy, which has Hare Krishnas that look up. So the cow is sacred. So the cows stay, the calves stay with the cows, and they have the milk. So you do get the milk, but it's kind milk.
I see.
So that's a really interesting one. It's not economically not a very something that you can get very much, but in that sense I'm sort of fine with dairy. Otherwise, you know, the mass thing is a problem. So yeah, I'm turning more and more to plant milks, which are pretty delicious.
Oh, I agree. I've become a bigger fan.
And they're quite easy to make. I'd only just started making some. You like soak it overnight, blend it, and then sieve it. Have you been doing that already? Yeah,
I've done that, and I live with a person who owns something called a nut milk bath. Mary.
I have a nut milk bag, babe. My friend Nicole sent me one. I call it my nut sack to make.
Yeah, it doesn't
lot.
Sound right.
I know, but I like to do it. I know. I just think it sounds funny. I like to be amused in the kitchen. But yeah, the Mary McCartney serves it up is plant based. I have all the recipes in that are non dairy.
And it's such a fun show, and it's coming at such the right time. According to the economy.
Your sweetheart.
No, because here's the deal. In our country, according to The Economist, 5 years ago, only 3.4% of Americans were vegetarian. 5 years ago. And in 5 years, that number's doubled. Over 8% of Americans. That's 26 million people.
Wow.
And that's the result of decades of activism. And the number of vegans, by the way, has grown 600%.
The thing that's interesting is that, I mean, that was one of the reasons I was like, I have to really jump at the chance of doing this show, because I'm not sure, you know, a few years ago, you said, oh, you must have had lots of offers, but I think it's pretty amazing discovery of commissioned a vegan cooking show. So yeah, kudos to them.
I find all of it to be really, really great political activism that happens to be a highly entertaining TV show that happens to be really food. So I'm such a fan. Before I let you go,
you're the best. I really like you a lot.
Oh, I'll take more of that. Thank you. The first time I met you many moons ago in London, along with your brother, this TV special I did for VH1. Mm. Oh, lovely. Mm.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That was a while ago.
Yeah, that was quite a time. But
I remember that.
At the same time, it's moving for me as someone who was raised by a parent who was a real chef to see how you have carried on all the work your mother did, and that's changing hearts and minds and making the world a better place, and you happen to do it in a fun way. Do you have a favorite memory of working in a kitchen growing up?
I have a funny memory with my mum. This is maybe not my favorite, but it's the first thing that came into my mind when you asked me. I made like an apple pie, and I made the pastry from scratch, and me and my mum were the only two in the house, and it was the afternoon, and I went upstairs, I like rolled out the dough, put all the apples in, cinnamon sugar, put the top on, and hadn't baked it, and left it on the counter, and then came back, and me and my mom were going out for a horse ride, and we came down, and one of the dogs had got up on the counter and like eaten a big hole out of the middle of it, and we were like, oh my goodness, what a drama. And then we looked at each other and were like, right, I just took it off, I re-rolled it, I put it back on, and I baked it, and then we never told everyone that it had been eaten by the dog. So not sure I should admit that, but that's quite an amusing story. It was a good pie though.
It's a great one. And seriously, Mary, congratulations on this series. It's really wonderful. I hope to see you doing more. It's 6 half-hour episodes available on the new Discovery Plus. The show is Mary McCartney Serves It Up, and I'll tell you, I never knew how much I needed deluxe hash brown skillet and brunch cocktails with Cameron Diaz and Nicole Richie. I'm a definite man because of you and your work.
I hope you're going to make that.
I'll try. In the pandemic, you wouldn't believe what I have. I live in a New York City crappy kitchen. I've got to do so many incredible vegetarian things to try to keep healthy and safe and ruin my health and others.
Yeah.
But again, the show is so fun. And you really, really made a great work of TV. Thank you so much. And thanks for all you do to make the planet a more sustainable place.
Thank you, John. I hope it's not so long until our paths cross again.
I hope very soon. I'll be a stand-up show in New York before you know it. Take care.
Brilliant. Okay, you take care. Big kiss.
Thank you very much. Peace.
Bye. Bye.